We read Psalm 96 at the beginning of the service. We're going to read it again for those that weren't here. What are we going to be doing for eternity in heaven? You already answered the question. We're going to be worshiping the Lord. Amen? So why not get in the habit here? Amen? We're a Pentecostal church. You don't have to sit there like you're Baptist. If you want to sit there like you're Baptist, go ahead. Or Presbyterian. Or Episcopalian. We're glad you're here. But we need to praise and worship the Lord. How many have ever been to a ball game? Whether professional or college. Anybody ever been to one? High school? Grade school? Amen. Amen. And everybody sat there. Right? No. Man, when their child gets up to bat, good night, you would think they were, well, I was going to say Jeter, but no way. You would think they were some great professional player. Right? Carl Yastrzemski. Now there's the one right there. Amen. And Peter said, thank you, Lord. Psalm 96. So sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all people. So there we know, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens and earth. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Amen? Aren't you glad strength and beauty are in his sanctuary? We're not talking about Caroline Ziak and the rest of you lovely ladies. Amen? But you're here too, strength and beauty. Amen? Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Right back there is the box. Bring an offering. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Can you say that with me? The Lord reigns. Amen. One more time. The Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. I love that. The Lord reigns. When I'm not feeling good like I am this morning, I walk around the house and I say, the Lord reigns. Glory be to God. The Lord reigns. When there's not finances, the Lord reigns. Amen. When my children are ugly and mean, the Lord reigns. Amen. When everything's going haywire, the Lord reigns. Amen. When Schumer opens his lion mouth, the Lord reigns. Amen. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the seas roar and all that fill it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. How many know what an oxymoron is? Amen. Now we're not talking about me. Amen. Just take the oxy off. No. An oxymoron. Amen. The world itself, the word itself is interesting. It comes from ox, us. That's what it comes from. Ox, us. And it means sharp and moros. Moros. M-O-R-O-S. Moros. And that means dull. And here are some of my favorite ox, us, dulls. Jumbo shrimp.
Yay.
Freezer burn. Right? White chocolate.
Yes.
Plastic silverware. Airline food. Back when they used to give it. You couldn't call it food. Sanitary landfill. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Truthful tabloids.
Yeah.
professional wrestling. Yeah, right. Maybe professional actors, but not professional wrestling. Amen? Here is another self-contradictory phrase. Boring worship. Boring worship. Reminds me of a little boy, and he asked his mother if she could remember the highest number she had ever counted to. And the mother didn't know, so she asked him, "What's the highest number you've ever counted to?" He said, 5,372. Wow. The mother was puzzled. Why in the world 5,372? Why did you stop at 5,372? And he responded, "Well, church was over." In various surveys, when people are asked why they don't go to church, they say it's just too boring. It's just too boring. I recognize church services sometimes can be dull, especially for the non-Christian, but I want to suggest this morning that true worship is nothing like boring. True worship is a stimulating in itself. The very essence of what worship is does not allow me this morning to be bored. When we come before a majestic God, the creator of the universe, who's created everything and does amazing things in our life, we can't help but break out in celebration and worship. Amen? Now, there is a difference between worship and praise. Praise is what comes out of my mouth. Worship emanates from my actions. Now let me say that again, because it got quiet all of a sudden. Praise comes out of my mouth. And it's a lot easier to do than worship, which is a result of my conduct. If my conduct is in obedience to God's word, it is worship. If my conduct is contrary to the word of God, it is anything but worship. Amen? Thank you for that one. So I asked myself the question this morning then, if that's the case, who should I worship? What is worship? How should I worship? And why should I worship? Well, let me help you answer these questions. What is worship? Worship is fall on your face and bow down. It's found 170 times in the Bible. It happens when people recognize their position in God and what He has done for them. How should I worship? Well, with music, verse 1 here. With proclamation, verse 2. Giving Him glory, verse 8. Bringing an offering, verse 8. By holy lives, living a holy life, verse 9, and witnessing in verse 10. See? God makes it easy. David makes it easy. Why should I worship? Verse 2, because God saved me. Amen? That's enough to shout about. Verse 4, because of His greatness and His fearfulness. Verse 6, because of His splendor, His majesty, His strength, and His beauty. Verse 13, because He's righteous and He will judge the earth. Now, when you're watching the news, worship, because He's coming to judge the unrighteousness. Amen? This isn't the end of the story. It doesn't end like this. Glory to God. Amen? It ends with judgment in righteousness. And where do I worship? Well, verse 3 says among the nations. Verse 6 says in His sanctuary. Verse 8 says in His courts. Now, when do I worship then? When? Well, verse 2 says, sing and proclaim His salvation day after day. Every day. Amen? We had a saying. Someone says to you, "Well, tomorrow I'll do it." Tomorrow never comes, because when it gets here, it's today. Hello? Yes. So it is a wonderful thing to tell your wife, "When are you going to clean up the garage?" Tomorrow. Well, you said you were going to clean it up tomorrow. That's right. I am going to clean it up tomorrow. This is today. Don't have to do it today. This is today. I'll do it tomorrow. Well, honey, it's tomorrow. No, it's not. It's today. Tomorrow never comes. How many know what I'm talking about? Tomorrow never comes. Now, there's four imperatives to worship that I want to talk about. Let me take my watch off because I'm sitting down, so I may last forever. Amen. At the risk of breaking the flow of joyful, joyful, we adore thee, I see four imperatives to worship this morning. I'm going to exalt his name. I'm going to extend his kingdom. All starts with E, X. I'm going to express his greatness, and I'm going to expect his coming. First of all, I will exalt his name. I will lift up his name. Verses 1 and the first part of verse 2. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. We call this passage to sing to the Lord. We are called three different times in these 1.5 verses. Three different times we're called to sing to the Lord. We're called to sing to the Lord a new song. We're called to sing to the Lord all the earth. And we're called to sing to the Lord and bless his name. See, when something's repeated in triplicate, it's done for our attention. It's God saying, hey, 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 pay attention. Amen? So if someone is sleeping around you, jab them real good. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Three times, triplicate, for our attention. Sing to the Lord, the triune God. Job, way back before creation or in creation, just after creation, because it's the oldest book in the Bible. I better correct myself because Peter will. It's the oldest book in the Bible. It says, where were you? Job has a problem. Job is being attacked by Satan. And he's not being attacked because he's unrighteous. He's being attacked because he's righteous. Okay? And so he goes before the Lord because he doesn't understand what's happening. And God speaks to him and says, hey, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. You think you're smart? Prove it. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Right? In Isaiah it says that he measured the universe with the span of one hand. Someone said, why do you obey God? Well, to get slapped with that hand is to get hurt. That's one big slap. Amen? So where were you? Or who stretched a line upon it? Who's got a tape measure, God says to Job, that's long enough to measure the earth? Who determined its measurement? Surely you know. Who stretched a line upon it? Or what were its bases? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? Huh? Where are they? Find for me, Job, the cornerstone that says to the glory of God. Nobody knows. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted with joy, where were you? What were you doing? See, you know, there's been singing and shouting since the beginning of time. In fact, Jesus said, if these are quiet, the stones will cry out. I'm going to get Mike to bring me a pile of stone and put it right in front of the door so we can hear it when it cries out. Because there's way too much silence in this place. Yes, it is. Amen. I want noise around here. Someone brought a baby. And at the end of the service, they said, oh, I hope we didn't disturb you. I says, no, I thank God that baby was here because it knows how to praise the Lord. Maybe the rest will catch on. Revelation 15:3, and they sing a song of Moses. Someone said to me, but Brother Pierre, if I shout out and yell, someone will look cross-eyed at me. Well, I hope it doesn't stick. Remember when your mother said, If you cross your eyes, it might stick.
Yeah.
I did it all the time. And my mother said to me, you're going to stay that way. And so sing to the Lord the song of Moses. They came across the Red Sea and Miriam broke out in song. Go to the book of Revelation and tell me that they're silent. No, it's as the thunder of many waters. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jose. The servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God Almighty. Justice and true are your ways, O King of the nations. How many of you have been in the forest when the wind was blowing? Yeah. Yeah. The trees praising the Lord since the world was created. There's been a symphony of joyful praise. All creation breaks into song when Jesus comes again. And when he's here, they recognize him. We're called to sing to the Lord in the meantime as we wait for his appearance.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no global warming.
No.
It doesn't exist.
Oh,
it's a hoax. It does not exist. You know what the Bible says about global warming? The Bible says nature will turn on man when man stops obeying God's guidelines.
Yeah.
It's in the book, sir.
Yeah.
So we have neglected his ways. We have turned from his guidelines. We no longer obey what he tells us to do. And nature is rebelling. It rebelled in Oklahoma last night. It rebelled in Nebraska. Lord, have mercy on those people and supply for them. My heart goes out to them.
Amen.
That's nature rebelling. Right? Notice that we are to sing a new song. Amen?
Amen.
Word can mean something brand new. You know what it means? It means when God's done something for you, break out in song. It doesn't matter if the melody makes any sense or not.
Yes,
we had trouble Friday night, and we had trouble this morning with one line of a song, didn't we, Paul? I didn't like it. Paul liked it. I didn't like it. Paul was gracious. But it came out all right in the long run. Amen?
Amen.
You know what one of the greatest hymnologists of our modern day said? His name was Jack Hayford. He wrote Majesty, Worship His Majesty, and over 80 other songs. A great man of God, full of the Holy Ghost, four square preacher of the gospel, built a mega church in the middle of the Los Angeles area. Great man of God. He said, when you're singing Sunday morning, it doesn't matter. Sing the song like you want to sing the song.
Amen.
Amen. Make a joyful noise. David said. Amen? He did not say, let it rhyme. Hello, sorry rappers. He did not say, let the melody be correct. No. He said, sing a new song. Glory be to God. When it gets to the throne, I'll sort it out, God said. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad. I had a lady in the church in Presque Isle that the more anointed she got, the more off key she got. She would start the song Paul in Z and end up in K. By the way, folks, those aren't keys. Right, Paul? Z is not a key and K is not a key. It got bad. And a deacon came to me and said, Pastor, Nellie has to go.
Oh, no.
She's got to go. That is terrible. It is awful. And new people are coming into the church and they're going to be offended because she's so bad, and she was bad. She would make me cringe. And so I went to the Lord in prayer. I said, what do I do about Nellie? And the Lord said, leave her alone. She's mine. She's mine. A few Sundays later, a 16-year-old boy that had been seeking the baptism in the Holy Ghost for over 3 years got baptized in the Holy Ghost right over there in the middle of a song when she was so far off key, she was outside of the universe. Got baptized, and God spoke to me right on the platform. I was sitting right there. He said, see, You don't know anything. You ignorant preacher. God said to me, you're one stupid man of God. You don't see the picture. You don't know anything. That praise came up to my throne, and the Holy Ghost had to fall on Peter and baptize him in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Sing a new song. Praise his holy name. New song before the Lord. Amen. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you put the television on tomorrow and all you heard, well, excuse me, that's what we hear. All you hear is the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah, that's what you hear, right? Yeah, yeah. I said to Leah the other day when there was a something happened. Oh, the earthquake in New York City. I said, we're going to hear about that for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And how many of you know that's boring?
Oh, it is.
How many of you know that doesn't make any sense? God doesn't want my boring worship before him. Tell of his excellent greatness. Glory to God. Tell him what he's done for you. It's hard to forget if you keep reminding God. And the devil's an expert at making us forget what God's done for us. Amen? Old news is not good news. Revelation 14, 1 through 3. Then I looked and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their forehead. I heard a voice from heaven. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Here it is. I heard a voice from heaven, silent. A whisper. A whisper. And I'm not biting. I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters, like Niagara Falls. How many have been there?
I've been there.
Yeah, you try to talk to somebody standing right beside you. Hey, isn't this pretty? Right? And they barely hear you. Right? And like the sound of loud thunder. Anybody ever been wakened at night by thunder? Oh, yeah. The windows rattle. Amen? The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harp. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who have been redeemed from the earth. New song. All the earth. Verse 4. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All the nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Now, let me help you. The only way the world's going to know what God's done for you if you tell them.
Yes.
Exalt his name. Glorify his name. Number 2, extend his kingdom. They'll never know unless you tell them. Hello? They're not going to know. Right? Verse 2 and 3. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation every now and again. What's it say? Read it. Is it up there? No, it's not up there. Where is it? Day? Yeah, there it is. Day to day. Say it. Day to day. Turn to somebody and say, it's day to day. That's every day, right? Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. Now, we're told to extend his kingdom by declaring and proclaiming his salvation. It's amazing to me. I've met some people that get more excited about a new restaurant than they do about being saved. Ouch. Right? Oh, you wouldn't believe it, Pastor. That restaurant is fantastic. You have to take Leah there. I'd rather they say, guess what, Pastor? God has saved me, and he healed me, and he provided for me. God is great. He sits on the throne. He's been right beside me. I was discouraged, but God lifted me up. Hallelujah. I was downtrodden, but the Lord raised me up. Hallelujah. We're told to do it from day to day, day after day. We're told where to do it. Among the nations, our message is the gospel. Our method is sharing it. Nobody's going to know unless you tell them. Hello? Who's going to know unless I tell them? Nobody will know. Our mandate is to take it to all peoples. Thank God he's blessed us. This church supports 4 Assembly of God missionaries. Right? 4. Right, Caroline? We support Ecuador. Can't remember its name. That's because I'm old. We support Colombia. Can't remember her name because I'm old. We support China. Well, Nepal. Can't remember her name because I'm old. And then we support who else? Yes, but the Assemblies of God, only 3 or 4?
All 3 of those.
3 Assemblies of God. And then the Barners in the Philippines, we support. $100 a month. And then when they come for a service, we give them $1,000 offering plus what you put in.
Yes, amen.
And they have told me, everybody, and I was a missionary, so I know. They said, now, in 2024, it's rare we get an offering that big from a church, let alone one this small. Now, Caroline, has God blessed us?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why? Because we're extending his kingdom. We can't go, but we can extend the kingdom. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. 10% of what comes into this church needs to be used to extend the kingdom. We can't keep it. It's not ours to keep. The tithe, God said, is mine. Why do you say that? Because he never gave it to us in the first place. He gave it to us to prove our obedience to his word. So I give it back to him saying, I will obey you.
Amen.
I can show you hundreds of people that I've known over the years, and they tell me, Pastor, I just don't think that's for today. And I watch how God blesses those that do, and I watch how God doesn't bless those who don't.
Wow.
It's amazing. I told you the story of my guitar player in Presque Isle. I preached on tithing. Probably should preach on it again here. I don't, because people are giving here. So I don't have to. Thank you for taking one theme away from me. I appreciate it. He sat right over there. And I preached on tithing. He came to me at the end of the service and he said, Pastor, I don't believe what you preached. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, I don't believe it. I says, I'll tell you what, prove it. And he looked at me. I said, yeah, prove me wrong. For the next 90 days, you bring your tithe in here to the church off the gross of what you make. For 90 days you do it, and if God doesn't bless you, Leah and I, out of our own pocket, will refund the money to you.
Wow.
He looked at me and he says, oh good. Leah, when I told her, said, you fool. You idiot. I looked at her and I said, has God ever shortchanged anybody that was willing to put him first? Glory be to God. He's not a God that is a debtor to anybody. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt I wouldn't have to refund one red cent. 3 weeks later, he comes to me. He says, I got to testify. I said, no, Sunday morning we don't have testimonies. We have them Sunday night. You come back tonight and testify. He said, okay. I sat down while we were, Nellie was leading worship. She was particularly off key that particular morning. And I sat there and God said, you let him testify. I said, Lord, I can't. So what? I can't. Okay, then try to preach without the anointing. Yeah, he can testify. No problem, Lord. He can testify. And I went over to him and I said, and this is what he said. 3 Sundays ago, I met the pastor at the back door and I told him I didn't believe in tithing. And he told me, give for 90 days off the gross, not off the net. And if at the end of 90 days God hasn't blessed you, then I will give you back the money. And everybody gasped. Because they knew what I made. They knew that would be impossible. But you see, you don't have to worry about obeying God's word. Right? He said, I got to work a week ago. And they called me into human resources. And my boss was sitting there. And they said, you've been here for over 15 years. And you've been a great worker. You've been passed over time and time again. You've never gotten a raise when you should have got it. And we apologize. We've got a brand new position we're creating. And it's yours. You can have it. And it comes with a 50% raise. Ouch, that hurt. Glory to God. Friday, he was out cleaning around his ancient trailer. His trailer was in the 60s when it was made. And we're talking the 80s. It was old, it was decrepit, and he's cleaning around it. The next door neighbor, who 2 years previous had moved a brand spanking new trailer in with 2x6 walls. He had 1x2 walls. Moved it in, 2x6 walls, beautiful, top of the line. Came over to him and said, listen, I've got a proposition to make to you. We put $20,000 down on that trailer, and I've been transferred to my job, and I've been trying to sell it, and I can't sell it. Tell you what, will you go down to the bank tomorrow with me or this afternoon and see if they'll let you just transfer the remaining mortgage over to your name?
Where?
He said, would you please repeat that? I don't think I heard correctly. They went down to the bank. And by Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, he had a brand new trailer that was only 2 years old with a $20,000 down payment as a gift from the throne room of Almighty God, because he said, I will obey God. I had a man in my first church, would not tithe. He was a deacon, and he would not tithe. They nominated him to be another deacon, and I called him in. And I said, Willie, will you tithe? No. I said, well, if you can't be a deacon if you don't tithe. He said, well, I won't be a deacon. I says, great. So his wife came to me Sunday and said, if you don't allow him to be voted on, I'll nominate him from the floor. I said, you do that, Kathy dear, and I'll tell the church why he can't be a deacon, because you are thieves. God's word, not mine. Oh, she got mad. Didn't leave the church, but she got mad. Guess what? She did not nominate him. Look, he was a first hand on a paper machine at St. Regis Paper Company. He made more money than anybody in the church. And his car never ran. His plumbing was always messed up. He had a new trailer, but it was always in trouble. He kept telling me he was going to sue the manufacturer. It had so many defects. Listen, you cannot outgive God. You obey God, and He will bless you. Glory be to God. Amen. I went out, and my car was a little dinky thing, and the paint was falling off it. So I went into the dealership, and I said to the dealership, show me, Ford, of course, show me, fix or repair daily, show me the largest inexpensive four-door sedan you have. So they showed me, and don't gasp, a Ford Granada.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you feel sorry for me, don't you? Yeah. I feel sorry for myself too. Silver in color with a red interior.
Yes.
The colors I hate. The colors I hate. And so I said, well, let's do a deal. So we went into the business office. My father was with me. God spoke to him and said, I'm going to give him this car. And he never told me, meanie. So I did the budget. Lee and I did the budget on Saturday. We needed $1,000 in order to afford that car. And we weren't going to get it making $100 a week. Not going to get $1,000 making $100 a week. You need 10 weeks and no expenses. And that wasn't going to happen. So Sunday night, Sunday morning, a young man came to Leah and he said, listen, I've been awarded by the court my court case for a motorcycle accident I had. and I'm going to give you and the pastor $1,000, and he put $7,000 in the offering for tithe. Just a young kid. And she never told me. She let me stand up and ask the people to pray for me. I had a financial need. I needed God to undertake. And she shut her little mouth and never said a word. See, that's a reason to divorce right there. I went home. I prayed in the afternoon. When we had supper, I prayed, "Lord, you see the need." She never said a word. Sunday night, they said, "Come over to our house. We'll have cake and ice cream." And I never turned that down. And so we went over to their house, and he said to me, he said, "Here, Pastor," and handed me a certified bank check for $1,000. Glory be to God. I went in Monday morning and put it down on the car, and God had taken care of everything. You cannot outgive God. You can't outgive God. So, extend his kingdom. I'm going to extend his kingdom by praying. I'm going to extend his kingdom by giving. I'm going to extend his kingdom by proclaiming. I'm not going to shut up, right? I'm going to be a world evangelist. I'm going to express his greatness. I'm going to exalt his name. I'm going to extend his kingdom, and I'm going to express his greatness. Say it with me. Exalt, extend, express. Again, exalt, extend, express. Verses 4 through 9. "For the great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." See, he's not just a tribal God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many know that? Amen? He is worthy of praise. We have a culture that likes to applaud and praise accomplishments of others. Now, they're not applauding too much in Miami this morning. Some know what I'm talking about. Because they got their posterior handed to them by the Celtics last night. So, it wasn't a New York team, Peter. Amen? So, when Peter and I have a discussion, he always brings up, for me, the hated Yankees. But he talks about their accomplishments, and he applauds what they've done, and he has a right to. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Right? How much more are we with God? Is God greater than the Yankees?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Rich, he's even greater than Atlanta. He's greater than Boston, just by a little bit. He's greater. So we need to applaud his accomplishments. Now, we give our own definitions to what is great, don't we? Oh, yeah. Psalm brings us back to what's important. God is great, and he's worthy of praise. He is to be feared and honored above everyone and everything else. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
See, because God is the King of the universe. God is to be feared and honored above all else. And verse 5 tells us he has no rivals. He has no rivals, for the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Amen? But the Lord made the heavens. Verse 6, he gives us four attributes to God: splendor, majesty, strength, and beauty. I grew up in Colombia, and the people had idols. Most of the idols were fashioned after the aboriginal Indian tribes that had occupied Colombia before the colonists came. They're gruesome, they're ugly, and they're vulgar. Yes, whether it's a idol of a woman or an idol of a man, they exaggerate their intimate organs. It's nasty. Leah looks at him and says, "That's nasty." See, They think that they're worth something. But you see, God is the one that causes everything to exist, and nothing exists without God.
That's true.
God is not horrid. The tribes believe that God was a vengeful God. That's why they sacrifice their children to the gods. But God's not a horrid God. He's beautiful. He's arrayed in splendor. He is clothed in mercy. He is graceful. He has majesty. He's armed with power. The glory is brighter than the very sun. Listen to what he says. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, come into his courts, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Now, tremble before him, all the earth. Ascribe means give. It's an older English word, and it means give. It says, give to the Lord what is rightfully his. Glory be to God. I'm persuaded that if I gave to him what was rightfully his, maybe things would go just a bit better for me. Amen? I'm always going to have the devil against me, but I'd rather have God for me 100%. Amen? Then the little bit the devil's against me won't amount to anything. See? The last part of verse 8, is it still up there? Yes. Come into his courts, bring an offering, come into his courts, ascribe to him glory, do his name. That offering in the original Hebrew is thank offering. When I come into his presence and I bring my tithe, I bring it with a thankful heart. What a privilege it is to give. I'm glad I have to give. And this is listed, do you know how many times? 689 times. I looked it up in my concordance and counted them. 689 times. Give God the glory, do his name. Romans 12, 1 through 2 tells me how I do it. I appeal to you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, it's not just what I say. It's not just what I do. It's my body. Boy, that changes what I'm allowed to do and not do, right?
Yes.
Can I take my conduct before the throne of God and show it to God the Father? Maybe I need to ask myself that question before I do it. Before I get mad at that car in front of me at the traffic circle, maybe I need to say, Lord, let me present this people to you. Your body's a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So I present my body, and what does it become before God? My spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, and this is how I do it, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. See, it's all in the mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect before him. See, when I adore God with songs and hymns, Hebrews tells me I'm offering a sacrifice of praise. Someone said to me, but you don't understand. It's a sacrifice for me to go to church. Well, you're fulfilling the word of God. Don't use it as an excuse. It won't work. I'll tell you, that donkey won't ride. Hebrews 13, 5. Though through him, let us continually offer up a... What's it say?
Sacrifice
of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. See? I also worship God as I offer my financial resources to him. And we've already talked about that. So I'm not even going to read Malachi 8, 3, 8 through 10. You can read that when you get home. I'm not even going to read it. See, our offering is a sacrifice of praise and worship to the Lord. And then I need to expect his coming. I exalt his name, I extend his kingdom, I express his greatness, and I expect his coming. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. I don't put up with that. That's cracking and popping. I don't know, I'm going to call Sennheiser and see what the deal is, Paul. I should not do that. That's an expensive mic. I should have bought cheap. Say among the nations the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. I hope you're taking down the scriptures that have to do with global warming and you can write them down so you can use them to those people that lie about that to you.
Yes.
See? He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Do you know there's not going to be any equity here in the United States till Jesus is reigning?
Amen.
They can quit talking about it. It's not going to exist. See? Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the seas roar and all that fills it. So the fish and everything, let the fields exult, let everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. C.S. Lewis points out to us that this psalm is a song of judgment. The word judge in verse 10 carries with it the idea that a sovereign God is going to rule over all the nations. How many know that's true?
Yes.
Amen? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we get a new administration? And it won't be because of a vote in November. It'll be because of the rapture of the church and his kingdom. Amen? Glory be to God. See, when Adam sinned, creation went off kilter. When the second Adam returns, creation's going to be delivered from its bondage. For Romans 8, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Global warming. Catastrophes right there. Now the last stanza of this hymn, Psalm 96 is a hymn, is the hope of Jesus' coming. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples of the world in truth. He'll dispense judgment. He'll vindicate us, the believers, and he will establish his truth forever. We are called to watch and worship. I want us to make that our salutation and our goodbye. We'll shake hands and we'll say, watch and worship. Watch and worship. How are you today? Watch and worship. Are you leaving now? Yes. Watch and worship. How many think that'd be a good idea? Wait and worship. Wait and worship. See? Jude 14 says this. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all, and to convict all the ungodly of their deeds of unrighteousness that they have committed in such an ungodly way. How many know that describes today? Right? And all the harsh things that the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I'll be around somebody and they'll say, Jesus Christ, it's hot. And I'll say, Jesus has nothing to do with it. Boy, don't they look at me funny. I'll not allow it in my presence. You take the name of Jesus in vain, you're going to get me saying something. I'm going to say something. If you don't like it, then don't say it. Amen? We need to be ready to not shrink away in shame. Because he's going to come suddenly. Glory be to God. His coming was obvious. And it will be obvious in implication in the way I sing, in the way I sow, and in the way I serve. I'm going to sing, I'm going to sow, and I'm going to serve. So let's take some action steps. Let me end with this. And I'll use this so that the live stream gets it. We're going to take some action steps. Number one, we're going to read a psalm every day. Someone said, with which one do I start? How about number one? How's that sound? Amen. Number two, we're going to listen to worship music rather than rap. I don't think he said that. We're going to listen to worship music rather than country western. You know what you get when you play a country western song backwards? Get your dog back, your wife back, your car back, your job back, and your house back. I'm going to listen to worship music. I'm going to pray for five neighbors. If you don't know their name, would you do something for me? Go knock on their door and find out their first name. Don't ask them for their last, just their first name. And put them on a piece of paper, and don't tell them. Just pray for five neighbors every day. And then pray for five family members every day. That's easier. Amen? And do it for 5 minutes. Five neighbors, five family, 5 minutes. How many know that's easy? Amen? Someone said, I'll group them all together. I don't care. 5 minutes. And as you pray, look for the opportunities to care and share. And then number four, pray for our missionaries on a regular basis. They're right back there on the board. Write them down on a piece of paper and pray for them every single day. And then number five, watch and wait. Watch and wait. Wait and watch. Amen? I'm going to be ready for his coming. Father, thank you for your word. In this, I need help. I'm not going to say we need help. I'm going to say I need help. Forgive me, Lord. I don't know how many times I've gone to a restaurant and I haven't said anything to the waitress that waited on me. I haven't said anything to the cashier. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to share Jesus with them. If it's just a simple prayer for them, just say to those neighbors of mine, just say to those I meet, can I pray for you? And I worship you with that. I worship you by doing what you have asked me to do. Forgive me, Lord. Help us that this word would get into our mind, would cement itself in our character and in our conduct, that we will, Lord, leave this house ready to present Jesus to a dying world. And Lord, by the Holy Ghost, give us somebody this week that we can lead to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you. Right? And watch. Amen? Wait. Say it with me. Wait and watch. See how easy that is? I'm going to wait and watch. Glory be to God.